Welcome, my fellow wannabes. Welcome to another edition of the Wannabe Critic. God dang it, Mikey. He's trying. Oh, that's how we're starting the show. Just sitting there chilling. Mikey, how is it? How are you in Cyberpunk 2077 right now? I mean, it's kind of crazy. I'm loving it, man. I love it. Joining me, as usual, are the other two hosts of this show, Mikey Collins and Caleb Henley. Caleb, how you feeling, man?
Dude, I'm great. I am sitting in the bathroom of our little apartment because my wife is also on a Zoom call right now, and her audio was creeping from the kitchen into the bedroom, even though the door is closed. So I had to put another door between us so that we can't hear her talking to her mom. So
gotcha. Yeah, I was gonna say you're in the
bathrobes and random crap all around.
Yeah, you're in the bathroom. You got a little rumbling in your tumbly. I mean, you know,
it's not good. That coronavirus takes its toll.
Yeah, sure does. As usual,
here I don't have it. Just want to throw that out there.
But you are in one of the most dangerous parts of the country right now. I mean, there's a pretty high amount of people that have coronavirus where you're at, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's funny. We were actually, my wife was messaging a girl that I used to work with. She's gotten married to another guy that I used to work with. And they live somewhere down south, like in one of the Carolinas. And she was saying that she's just getting over the virus. Like she had it. Dang, it's kind of crazy. It's weird when you start like finding people that you know that have had it. And it's like, it feels a lot closer. It's really weird.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But we're glad that you're staying safe. And obviously, sorry for whoever it was that did have it. That sucks. But gladly they're alive. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mikey, how are you feeling, man?
Feeling okay.
Is that a Roswell Records t-shirt you have on? Nice. Love it. Yeah. That's awesome.
Zoe got it for me a while ago.
Very nice. I love it. Roswell Records, old Dave Grohl. Well, enough of this doom and gloom, ladies and gentlemen. No one really cares what we've been up to. No one cares the video games we've been playing. Everyone knows we've been playing video games and watching movies and watching TV. The real reason people are here is because they want to hear us talk about The Fast and the Furious. I don't know if you guys realize this. We have thousands of people listening to us review these movies. That's not true. That's a lie. That's a total lie, actually. But that would be cool, right? You see how excited you both got there for a minute? It's like thousands. Hey, maybe someday.
I was scared.
Yeah. Caleb's face. Caleb was like, what? Like. So today, ladies and gentlemen, we are reviewing Fast and Furious. Now, I was talking to Caleb a little bit earlier today. We were just kind of talking about podcast stuff. And I was like, God dang it, dude. Like, every single time I watch one of these movies, I want to watch the next one immediately. And Emma's been watching these movies with me, you know, and she actually still thinks, like, she had forgotten that Letty died, you know, quote-unquote, spoiler alert. But she was like, she's dead. And I was like, yeah, she's dead. She goes, no way. I'm like, yeah, they killed her off. Michelle Rodriguez didn't want to be in the movies anymore. And she totally bought it. So she thinks that Letty's dead right now. But basically, like, at the end of the movie, Emma was like, oh, I'm so tired. Like, there's 20 minutes left in the movie. And Emma's like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm like, just wait, you know, just wait till the end of the movie. So I look back after the credits roll and she's just like, God, these movies are awesome. And man, I love this movie. So as usual, I mean, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but as usual, I want to go around the room, so to speak, and kind of get everyone's general thoughts because, you know, Caleb, as before, I think it was either last episode or the episode before that, you were kind of down on this movie and you said you didn't really like it as much. It's like one of your least favorite ones. Do you still feel that way now after watching it, like, recently?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Like, I don't have any super critical things to say about it, like, more so than any other. But it's, I don't know. I can get more into it later, but there's just something about it that just makes it, I don't know, just not quite on par with the rest. It's right there in the same level as like Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay.
It's kind of, those two are, they're right around the same for me.
Okay.
Easy.
because Mikey's a too fast, too furious fanatic. Okay, so you're so on it. And honestly, like, a lot of what you're saying is going to be kind of what I'm talking about as well with my review. Mikey, what about you? Do you like this movie?
You know, I only remember really all the movies after Tokyo Drift. I only really remember watching once, maybe twice. And this one I kind of forgot more than the other ones, I think. But I actually enjoyed this way more than I thought I would. But I'll probably get into it later because I feel like they could have done something with this movie. And I don't know. I might as well just say it now. I feel like they could have ended it with this movie. And I think that's why they wrote it the way they did. Because I feel like this was like a test, another test to see if people still like Fast and Furious. And so they wrote it in a way like, because if you think about it, it's kind of in a bow at the end because you're like, do we want to talk about the end yet? Or is this just like a free for all right now?
Well, you kind of cut out there for a second. Are you saying do we want to talk about the end?
Am I glitching again?
Yeah, you're glitching a bit. No, we're not going to talk. Let's get into it in a little bit. I definitely know what you're trying to say though. Like, it seems like they were kind of just shotgunning it out there a little bit. Like, okay, this is what we got. Let's see if this has any traction. Let's see, you know, Tokyo Drift did so well, which Justin Lin also helped direct this movie as well. Tokyo Drift did so well. Let's bring the core cast back and see if there's such a, you know, see if there's any sort of outcry or whatever. I think that's kind of what you were trying to touch on a little bit. Am I right? Ish.
Kind of. Ish. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I feel like they're trying to play on. Yeah.
Let's talk about it more. I really like this movie. I think there's a few core things about this movie that make it feel off. I'm like, I'm watching a true sequel to this movie, you know, or to the first Fast and Furious. It's a true sequel to the original. And there's things about that really work in a lot of ways. And then there's other things that just kind of don't. And I kind of want to, I'll just start it off. Okay. Let's get one of the biggest things out of the way. The bad guys in this movie suck. Like, some of the worst opposition in the entire Fast and the Furious franchise, period. Like, the opposition in this movie is just so laughable. Like, the bad guys are caricatures of bad guys. Like, Phoenix, he's like, at one point, it's like watching a cartoon. Like, Dom walks up to him and he's like he's like brooding at Dom. And it's just kind of like, you know, what is this, you know? That is a big part of what doesn't work for this movie for me. Caleb, what do you think about the, and just so you know, I'm gonna throw it to you pretty much first almost every time. What's your thoughts on the bad guy?
Yeah, they're not great. I think that what they do with kind of concealing the identity of who the leader of the cartel was a good move. Cause I think that, I mean, I don't know. I think that was probably a way to spice it up a little bit. I thought the one guy, the guy that Dom is just like continuously trying to kill, he's not great. And it is kind of odd that, I'm forgetting her character's name, which is just fantastic.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. I don't get her. It's so weird because they introduce her and I like her in like all the rest of the movies. But she just seems, it's like something's off and she seems just out of place. And I don't get like, why is she turning good? And why is she hitting on Dom? And then Dom's turning her down. And then she just flip flops for no reason. Did I just miss something there? It's just, all of it just seems really, really odd. Yeah. The whole cartel thing just seems really, it was really weird. I think it is just a weak bad guys.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said, and I kind of forgot that Gal Gadot, whatever, I kind of forgot that she was even in this movie. Mikey, what's your thoughts on the bad guys?
The guy that ends up being Vin Diesel's like main villain of the movie is awful, in my opinion. But I do like Caleb, like what they did with the main baddie, you know. I don't know. I never felt intimidated by anybody in this movie. So I feel like that kind of took me out of it, because I was just like, it was a Paul Walker, Vin Diesel reunion film, and then they had to have a bad guy in there. And I was like, okay. Like, but I the only time I ever had any adrenaline going was like when the first race, and that wasn't even really like a serious race, you know? So I don't know. The bad guys didn't really do anything for me in this one. Are those platypuses on your quilt there?
I don't know what they are, but it looks kind of weird on camera. So I wanted to put the skulls back on there. Honestly, the first 20 minutes of this movie really work. What is going on here? It really works for me, honestly. I love that they kind of go back to the original roots of like trying to chase down a truck, you know, and all this other stuff. And what they end the movie with, you know, it's kind of that same type deal, you know, where they're chasing the truck, whatever. Mikey, are you okay? Are you having a revelation?
I just had a problem with that whole first thing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, I was kind of confused because you were like, I didn't know if something was wrong or someone was shouting at you or what.
No, I just forgot that I had a problem with that first scene.
Really? Okay, I want to hear it. What's the problem? Yeah, I want to hear it.
I don't know. Well, like, okay, so you remember the first one. They're shooting like a harpoon gun into the truck and like jumping into the truck and like taking out, you know, and doing like all this acrobatics. And then they're doing the same thing, but from reverse. With the, at what point do you just start robbing the drivers? Like, why do they care if they get seen or that the driver has to keep driving? Why don't they just steal the car like a street racer would and done? Just leave the guy, be like, get out of the car, leave him on the side of the road, and drive away. That's all you gotta do. All you got, one gun, and you're good. Pull over, follow us. You know, just like Fast and Furious 1. That's all you gotta do.
Well,
you got a really good point.
That's true. I've never even questioned that. I mean, why didn't they do that in the first movie? You know,
right?
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like whenever, you know, it was cheesy back in 2001 because logic just gets thrown out the window. You remember that meme of that guy? They're like, okay, what's the plan? And then like the guy's just sitting there like this, and like he gives like this super logical explanation. Then they throw him out the window of the balcony. Do you remember that meme? I missed that one. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. That's exactly how all these Fast and the Furious movies get made, is because of, you know, it doesn't have to make sense, even though, whatever. But go ahead, Caleb.
No, I was just going to say, I do think that that scene is setting us up for more ridiculousness down the road in all of the movies that follow.
Yeah.
Because without that scene, do you have the two Dodge Chargers pulling a bank vault? Or do you have the tank getting flipped on a freeway, or the 60-mile-long runway, or The Rock pushing a torpedo with his bare hands into a car. Just like all of that ridiculousness. This is just what that is setting us up. It's starting to like numb our minds down to like, hey, just things, physics and logic, just they don't exist in this universe.
Yeah. So, and it's
roll with it, and there's going to be explosions and craziness and just eat it up.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think there comes a point, and I think it's in this movie, and I don't know if this is how it is throughout the rest of the series, but for whatever reason, Dom doesn't feel right. Like, he does not, he feels very off in this movie. And like, he shows up to Letty's funeral wearing like Gucci or something like that. Did you guys notice that? Like, he has like these like sunglasses on, he has like all this fancy stuff on, and it just doesn't work. And I don't know, I just feel like Vin Diesel just kind of tried too hard this particular time. But I don't know, that's kind of, Mikey, you were kind of shaking your head. Can you kind of, do you know where I'm trying to go with this?
Yeah. I mean, because it doesn't feel right, but I mean, like, I bet, like, everything he wore in this movie was just from his closet, because that's how that dude dresses in real life.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if it was, like, Gucci and crap like that, so I don't know. Because he wasn't really flashy in the first film, you know? He was just wearing, like, a wife beater, like, a shirt, but that's all he really wears in this movie that I can remember, but... Yeah, just something off about his like personality in this movie.
Yeah,
I don't think it was phoned in. I personally think Vin Diesel just isn't a good actor.
Yeah,
but that's just me.
Yeah, well, and it's sad because the characters, I feel like the most consistent thing, and I, it's like a love-hate relationship with this movie, because I do enjoy the movie. Like, I'm sitting there at the end, like, okay, Fast Five, like, let's go right now. I want to watch it, like, right now, you know? And that's just kind of the magic of the franchise. But it's weird. You know something's off whenever the most down-to-earth consistent thing in this movie is Brian O'Connor's cheesy character and cheesy acting. Because the whole time I'm sitting there watching this movie, I'm like, Paul Walker's the best part of this movie, hands down. And he's not even really doing a ton. He's just being Brian O'Connor, you know? And that's kind of where I think it changed, where I don't feel like Michelle Rodriguez is, she's trying too hard to play what we think Letty is. And Dom, Vin Diesel, is trying too hard to kind of portray what he thinks we see Dom as. Like, he's just trying too hard. Whereas I feel like back in 2001, it's probably much easier just to kind of be that guy, you know? And Vin Diesel's career had kind of changed a lot throughout, you know, the past 7-8 years at this point. He wasn't quite as hot, quote unquote, as he was, you know, back in the early 2000s, I would say. Like, not hot. I just mean, you know, he didn't quite have as much clout, I guess, going for him. Like, I don't know. It just seems like it was a little bit off. But all of the family stuff, the Fast Family stuff that comes together in this movie, I actually really like. God bless Jordana Brewster. Oh my God, she is so freaking hot. I'm like watching that with him. I'm like watching it with Emma, and I'm like, God, she's hot. And Emma goes, yeah, she is. But why are you saying that? And I'm like, well, can't help it. Childhood crush. One of them. Anyways, I really like this movie. I feel like there's so many like tiny little things you could kind of nitpick, whether it be the way the truck flips in the beginning and Vin Diesel just happens to barely, you know, by an inch miss the inferno. I mean, it kind of like what Caleb says, like it's kind of starting to numb our, okay, this isn't supposed to be logical type thing. Mikey, you were kind of shaking your finger in agreement. Go for it.
Well, yeah, it was just a tiny thing, but like, that's another thing with that truck scene. Like, when he goes under, like, when that thing's flipping through the air and he goes under, it's kind of like the drifting thing in Tokyo when they're, like, doing that chase scene. Why does he have to drift under it? Why didn't he just floor it in a straight line? He just, like, did you notice that? He's yeah. Like, like, what? I do have to say I love that car, though.
I do, too. It's so cool. I think, go ahead, Caleb, you want to pitch in on that? You want to get on this?
No, I just was going to say that car is really cool. But yeah, it's just, logic has gone out the door, and it's kind of ridiculous. But at this point, it's like, this is the part, if you haven't gotten to it already with Fast and the Furious, where you just have to accept again that this is junk food, and it's just getting more and more ridiculous and flavorful and tasty. And you can either, I don't know, you can either really, really love that junk food, or, I mean, have you ever eaten something that's too sweet for you? And some people have a tolerance to that, where something's too sweet or too rich and it just goes out the window. But for me, like, I enjoy the action and the ridiculousness and the cheesiness of it. I don't think that's necessarily the problem for me with this movie, because I think in all, I do think this movie is like well made, and it's very watchable. It's rewatchable. It has some kind of cringy parts in it, but overall, it's not the over ridiculous action that like gets me, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think I can pick up what you're putting down. It's kind of crazy how there's not a ton of things really going on in this movie. There's a handful of really cool scenes, like the whole on foot chase scene. Brian's trying to chase down that guy in the beginning. I really like that. I really like, you know, the first 15 or well, I guess the first 10 minutes of that, you know, kind of throwing it back to the older movie in the beginning of the movie with the trucks. And I like the way the end of the movie wraps everything up too. I think the biggest things with this particular movie, and this is why it's so kind of like weird and hard to review, is the subtleties, is kind of what Caleb's talking about, where there's little subtle things that true fans like will really notice and like kind of pick up on, and sometimes it lands and sometimes it doesn't. And that's just kind of where you have like as many things that land, as many things that don't. There's this really weird thing of like, I don't really know how I feel about this movie. And it is weird whenever you can say that watching it, where it's like, that was stupid. Like whenever Vin Diesel like kills Phoenix eventually, and he like just smashes him with the car, and he calls him, you know, that word. I was like, I burst out into laughter. I like started laughing. I was like, this is so stupid. Like,
it's so stupid.
The worst timed line of all time. Like, who thought that was a good idea? Justin Lin, God bless you, but why? Like, at what point did you think, like, oh, yeah, that's going to be good. Like, people are going to like that. No, we didn't like it 10 years ago.
Did he call him something?
What's that?
Did he call him something?
You need to rewatch the movie.
Yeah, he called him it's, like, the most cringy part of the entire movie. He, like, hits him with the thing, and then he calls him the P word. You don't remember that?
You guys just broke up so bad, I have no idea what you just said.
Oh, it's okay.
It was all like, E-R-E-R-E-R. You don't remember that? No.
He, after, it's okay. It's, you know, everyone's having to deal with this right now, guys.
That wasn't the most cringy scene to me, though.
Which, okay, let's go through this. Like, what are our least favorite scenes in this entire movie? You go for it, Mikey, since you have the floor.
I just want to say something first. Like, the point of these movies, like, I love these movies, like, all of them. I love all of them. Even though, like, my favorite part for me to enjoy these movies is to hate on them, but I love them, like, outright. But one big thing I have in this movie is, since when did Dom Toretto become Sherlock Holmes?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yes.
What is that scene? Like, how does he know where they came from? How her truck, and how she even got shot?
Yeah.
Like, what? How does he know any of this happened? And he's all like, this exact chemical from this exact person. I know where I need to go.
There's only one guy who sells that in all of LA. And then Jordana Brewster is like, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh god, we are gonna rip this scene to shreds. It's like,
I think that's a cool scene.
Yeah, but like once you sit down and you like really try and be critical with it, it's like, you're a mechanic. Like,
sell groceries on the side.
Yeah. But I'm like just shaking my head, and you know, it is what it is. That is funny though that you mentioned that, because what makes Dom Toretto like just this ultimate badass? Like, he's just a tough, like, he wears a tank top, like, he wears a muscle shirt, like, and he's a mechanic. Like, why is it, some, what makes him so like freaking awesome? I mean, obviously it's Dom Toretto, it's cool. He's the most BA in the first movie. Change my mind. Like, he is the most BA he ever gets. And it's like, in this movie, you would think he'd be, like, ripped. Like, huge. Like, you know, like, not ripped, but just like, bigger than he is. And, like, at one point, he's wearing, like, this, and obviously I'm not trying to body shame anybody, because I'm not super duper fit or whatever. But at one point, it's like, I'm not a movie star, though, either. You know what I mean? So it's kind of different. But he has like this like long sleeve shirt on, and he's got like this dad pooch going on. I'm like, you look kind of fat, dude. Like, do some crunches, dog. Like, I don't know. I just, Dom Toretto does not feel right in this movie to me most of the time, except the scenes where he's with Brian. The yeah. Best parts of this movie to me is the stuff with Brian and Dom. But yeah, the whole knowing exactly what he needs to do, and you know, I don't know. I was thinking about whenever he goes to the mechanic and he does confront him, and he's like, this isn't your scene, old man. And I was like, yeah, it's not. He's a freaking old guy now. Like, no one wants to hang out with the old guys now. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It just didn't translate. Is that like your least favorite scene in the whole movie, Mikey?
The Sherlock Holmes thing?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, yeah.
Okay. I mean, put a pin in it. Put a pin in it, yeah. And we'll come back to it. Caleb, what is your least favorite scene in this movie?
It's not necessarily one specific scene, but like a specific like 2 to 3 minutes of where we get this character named Dwight, who's
Dwight likes feet.
He has a foot fetish. Yes. Is videotaping some weird party going on in his place. He also very much likes muscle cars as opposed to imports. He calls Brian's Skyline a rice and calls Brian a ricer at one point, which is just absolutely mind-blowing. He's just like dressed in the way he talks. Like he acts like he's like some BA guy, and he's like has the most like feminine voice.
Dwight lacks feet. Muscle Beats import every time. Every time. I'm like, so oh my god.
It's so terrible. And I hate one thing that I really like about the Fast and the Furious movies is that you have Dom and you have Brian. Brian is a big JDM guy, and you have Dom, who's a big muscle car guy. And they have like little spats here and there and like little mentions where they like kind of like egg each other on. And it's part of the culture, like of this little rivalry. But I hate it when guys take it too seriously. It's like they're all car enthusiasts, and every person, whether you're jacking up your truck or you're tuning your car or you're, you know, putting a ridiculous supercharger in your 69 Charger, it's all being a car enthusiast, and it's all, you know, doing what you love. And so having a little bit of like, you know, friendly fun is, that's great. And that's very, you know, positive and good for the, like, you know, the whole like car scene. But having guys that just hate on each other, it's, I hate that part of it. And I just hate like that, you know, muscle beats import
it's like
every
petty,
time or whatever.
Like kind of yeah, petty. Yeah.
It's dumb. Stupid. I just hate that whole thing.
Well, and it's like, they're trying to appeal to, like, you know, kids. So, but still, it's like, it just doesn't really need to be there. It's an excuse for Brian to get on the team. You know, it's like, okay, Brian has to lose this race somehow. How do we get him in the team? Okay, let's put some annoying idiot in the movie and, find some guy that'll do it for a couple $1,000, you know, and we'll kick him out day, you know, after one day of filming or an hour of filming or whatever. But yeah, that whole transaction, and like, Dwight's never touched that stuff, man. The heroin, he's like, Dwight has now. That was the best part of that whole interchange. To where he gets in. And okay, I want to talk about that race. The qualifying race, you know, to run for Braga. And okay, before we talk about the race, this is the stupidest bad guy plot ever. Like running drugs from Mexico and like underground tunnels. I'm like, wait a minute. Why did I think this was cool? Like 7 years ago, it is so stupid. Like it is so dumb. Oh, and another thing, one more thing before we get into the race. Last time I checked, Los Angeles is like a full 24 hours away from Mexico. Literally.
Maybe not that far, but it's not close. I mean, especially with traffic, it's not close.
Yeah, I checked like hour.
There.
What'd you say?
You have to go at least through San Diego to get there. And to do that, you're like going to the Baja. Where they're at in Mexico, yeah, it's not even close.
Yeah, I'm like, well, and like they depict Phoenix running Letty down in Los Angeles. So whenever Letty escaped, that is trying to say that Phoenix like was chasing. I was like, wait a minute, we're in Mexico. I'm like, Mexico is like really far away. So I was saying, like, okay, so what did they stop to get gas together and be like, oh, I'm gonna catch you, I'm gonna get you. No, you're not. You know what I mean? Like, go ahead, Mikey.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say they never really said where she got killed, but that does make more sense because they were like, they did just drive there in a night to get to where she died. So yeah, that makes sense. I was going to say like, it doesn't, it didn't have to be Mexico, but it, yeah, it would have to be Los Angeles if they got there that fast.
Yeah, I mean, if they got there that fast,
him and what's his face, him and his sister, Vin Diesel's sister.
Exactly.
If they went and checked that out. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm thinking
I never thought about that.
How long can you run in muscle cars that get a mile to the gallon? Like, how far can you go realistically?
Got a minivan engine in it.
I mean, good God. That was just like, that was honestly, like, to me, the biggest atrocity in this movie. I'm like, there's no way. Like, that's the biggest crime committed, in my opinion. But I want to talk about, go ahead, Caleb.
No, I was just going to, can I bring up one other little thing that I noticed in this movie that I wanted to get a comment on? At one point when Brian takes Mia out of like the detention center and they're at like a restaurant eating, Mia says that it's been 5 years since the stuff in the first movie, which would mean, which would place this movie in like 2005. So, which is kind of interesting because I noticed like specifically, like there's a couple of Mustangs in this movie that are very much more circa 2005 than circa 2009 when this movie came out. And I'm just curious if they almost like are trying to sit, like place this movie before Tokyo Drift, which came out in 2006. And if it was like their idea, like what Mikey said, where this was going to like wrap up the whole series. Or it's just really weird that they went back and did that and tried to kind of piece it in there like that. And then just completely threw that out the window for the next couple of movies.
Yeah.
And we're just like got rid of the timeline.
Yeah. When I guess, yeah, because I thought about that same thing too. I was like, I guess that would put it around. Well, if, okay. So, Fast and Furious came out in 2001. So had it been had it been 5 years, whatever, that would have, like, but like you're saying, it would have put it before Tokyo Drift. I guess Tokyo Drift would have still kind of fallen within that 2006 period.
Right.
So, but it, I did kind of feel the same way. I'm like, well, I think in the next movie, continuity just in that regard just kind of gets thrown out the window. I just don't think it matters as much because I think like they really found themselves in like a, oh crap moment. Like, what do we do here? You know? Like, what do we do? If it is wrapping up the series, it needs to make sense with Tokyo Drift because Han, and maybe that's why they even brought Han in the beginning of the movie anyways, is to kind of tie him in to, you know, Tokyo Drift, you know, say, okay, well, after this particular event, he's going to Tokyo, whatever. I don't know. I don't really care, but it is worth talking about. You know, I do appreciate, because I did think about it. It was one of those things, I was watching it, and I'm like, huh, that's weird, 5 years. Whatever. What's next? You know what I mean? So, but I appreciate you bringing that out.
No, I just thought it was interesting. I'd never noticed that before. It was weird.
It is interesting. Yeah. I hadn't given it much thought, honestly. So this qualifying race, as we were trying to talk about before, Braga, you know, we're supposed to, we don't know who he is. We just think this chubby guy is, you know, kind of the, go-between between Braga and, you know, the act of racing. Does this race work for you guys at all?
Not super well. I hate the GPS.
Yes. Thank you.
I hate the GPS so much. And I do like the idea of having, like not roping it off and having it through traffic, because that's how actual street racing is. It's not like you have, like, if you're going to do street racing, it's not like people are blocked. I mean, how realistic is it to block off whole streets? But it just doesn't completely work. And then like Brian getting like lost and having to cut through, and there's just something off about it. I think it's mostly because of the stupid GPS and kind of just how annoying it is.
Yeah. And like the girls that are like flashing on the GPS, like, to me, that sucked me right out of the movie. Go ahead, Mikey. You looked like you wanted to say something.
I mean, yeah, the girls were stupid. I have no idea. Like, what, I mean, I have an idea what they were thinking, but I don't understand why it was there. But the main, like, the big part of that for the race was me, was the GPS actually kind of made sense to me. I mean, because, like, if they would have told him, like, an address, how in the heck would they have known to get where the end of the race was, you know?
Well,
if it was 5 miles away.
They did it in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Did they?
Yeah, for the cigar. Just saying.
That's true. That is true. But the what I had a problem with was Vin Diesel's, like, competition. Because Brian got taken out, like, right at the beginning. So he should have been, like, gone, man. Like, that little, like, squeaky dude that he was fighting with the whole time.
Yeah.
In the Senate? Like,
yeah, like, what the heck? Why is he even close? He should be, like, miles ahead of him based on just, like, the skill of the character and, like, the car he has. He should be in the dust, like, immediately. Yeah. But I love the one thing I do like about that race is the beginning. The beginning is dope. When he, like, pops up and they're all, like, just gone, that's so cool. That's iconic for Fast and Furious.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
But, yeah, I was just like, why is this guy being such, like, why is he even keeping up with him right now? What is this?
Yeah, no, and it's kind of crazy how this scene takes these, you know, kind of subtle moments, or, I mean, just these moments in general, and kind of makes me love and hate the movie. And this is basically, if you could summarize the movie in, like, one scene and, like, kind of symbolize it with one scene, it would be this race, because you're just kind of like, why is this happening? And then 2 minutes later, you know, we have the classic Brian versus Dom street racing drag race, and the only way to win, Dom is going back, like, to, you know, kind of alluding to things he has said in the past, like, winning is winning. Like, you're still a buster, bro. Like, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile, and it doesn't matter how you win. Like, winning is winning. And I love that interchange, because, you know, you can tell Brian's just like, frick, man. Like, I lost again. Like, this thing that's been haunting him. Because you ever meet someone who's, like, super duper competitive, and, like, if they lose at something, they cannot let it go. Like, ever. Like, that will be the one thing that they think about anytime they're around that person. And, like, oh, whenever you mention that person, like, oh, I hate that guy. You know what I mean? Because he beat, because they beat him. But I'm not saying that's how Brian's character is, but the point I'm getting at is Brian is very competitive and he wants to win. He's used to kind of being the guy in his circle that knows the most about cars and whatever. And Dom's the exact same kind of guy, but he doesn't really have to flaunt that knowledge. You know what I mean? He just does it. He just does the thing. He wins the race. So, I don't know. To me, I feel like that scene can kind of get lost after, you know, as the days go on. But it's actually a pretty dope moment. And there's something, I hate how this movie takes some of the most undesirable things to where those are the things that stick out in my mind. And that those are the things that stick with me. Whereas I do enjoy the movie. And I think that's kind of where the conflicting thing comes into play of, like, loving and hating this movie. Do you have something to say, Caleb?
Yeah, so this is kind of my bigger problem with this movie, and it's kind of going along the same lines with you. So my biggest problem with this movie is how forgettable it is compared to the rest of the movies. For instance, if you go through all the movies, you have the first one, which obviously it's the first one. It's memorable just for that. The second one is in Miami. The third one is Drifting. The fifth one is the one where they're dragging a freaking bank vault with cars. The sixth one has the 60-mile-long runway. The seventh one is jumping through buildings in Jason Statham. The eighth one is, pushing a torpedo with their bare hands in Russia. It's just, this movie doesn't have, like, a specific wow factor that makes it memorable. And the things that make me remember this movie are not the good parts.
Yeah.
It's all the cringy bad parts.
Like the tunnels inside the mountain.
Yeah, with the tunnels and the GPS and Dwight. It's just, I think that's the thing that's just kind of, you know, turns me off of this movie. It's just, it's not very memorable. And if I'm going to sit there and think, man, I'm going to watch a Fast and the Furious movie, this is probably my last choice. Just because of that, it doesn't have that wow factor.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. Mike, you got anything to say on that?
As in what? Like, based off of what he was saying?
Yeah, just based off of what he was, off of what he just said. Like, does any of that speak to you?
Yeah, as in it being not a memorable one, Yeah, because I remember specific things from different other movies, and yeah, like I remember the tunnel under the border. Like, in what universe would that ever be a thing that they wouldn't find? And it's like, have you ever thought about, like, it's literally wood that they break through to get into the tunnel in the first place? Like, who wouldn't notice? I don't. It's Fast and Furious. You can't.
Yeah, don't think too hard. Don't think too hard. Yeah. But, well, you. Yeah. This is one of the. Okay. Now, here's the thing. I want to talk about the nitpicking, because we go into Fast and Furious. If you're going into these movies expecting a serious experience, you are going to be let down every single time. But at what point does it stop? Like, at what point? At what point does the movie give you enough things to where it basically becomes like the Room of the Fast and the Furious? You know what I mean? Like, I did not hit her. I did not. To where there is such a thing as being too bad that it's good. And I feel like that's a lot of what Fast and Furious is. But then there's also a point of like, this is so bad and that it's just bad. Like, it's not good. Like, it's cringy. It's bad in a cringy way, not in a funny way. Like, oh my God, like, how can you not laugh at this? And I feel like I'm not going to that degree and saying that this is what this movie does, because I do think it does have redeeming qualities, but nothing that makes it stand out to me that I'm like, you, Caleb, like, I'm going to sit down and I want to watch this one. Do I like the fact that it's like a true sequel to the original? Yes. And those elements of the movie that are in it that work, I love those moments. I can't really pick all of them out, though, because they're so few and far between. The good moments are so few and far between the very cringy and awkward moments. So I don't know. I don't feel like we have to talk this movie to death, because there's some cool parts in it, but I think it's kind of like a resounding, you know, unison that we're in, that this just, it's not bad, but it's not anywhere close to being good or really memorable, you know, even though it is rewatchable. It's weird. It's like this weird thing of like, it's just basic, like, entertainment. And kind of go along with the junk food thing, Caleb. I don't know about you guys, but whenever you're eating healthy, like, good food, and then you eat junk food, you're like, oh, like, I feel like crap. But if you keep eating junk food, like, you kind of get used to it. But then there's, like, for instance, during this quarantine, I've been eating worse than I usually do. And it's been whatever, you know, whatever. I'm kind of used to the junk food at this point. Well, the other day I heated up a Hot Pocket, a ham and cheese one. And I'm eating it. And, like, at first I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. So I heated up two of them because I was hungry. Once I got to the second one, I'm like, this is a mistake. This is so gross. Like, there's a line. There's like a threshold of like junk food that like you can't cross. And I feel like this movie might be that, you know, might be the first and second Hot Pocket. Like, there's parts of it that I'm like, oh, this isn't bad. This is fine. This is good. Yeah. And there's other parts where I'm like, I can't do this, you know? So, you know, it's not going to get like a glowing review from me, and I feel like that might be a good like segue to kind of score this movie. What do you guys think?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Caleb, why don't we start with you?
So, I'm going to give this movie a 6.5. I mean, we've been through, and I think we've kind of torn this movie apart quite a bit. It does have some really redeemable factors. The action in it overall is pretty decent. There's some good things it does. Like Gabe said, the part where Brian and Mia and Dom are all together are definitely the best parts of this movie. One of the other parts I just love of this movie with Brian is when he's picking out a car for the race and they're going through all of the like impounded imports, and she pulls up three GTRs that he picked out, and she's like, which one do you want? And he's like, I want all of them.
Yeah.
And he's pulling parts off of them to make one super GTR. I love that. And there's some really nice, like, good parts, and it's rewatchable and it's fun and it's fine, but it just doesn't blow me out of the water in any sort of way.
Okay. Well said. I accept that. Mikey, your thoughts?
The parts with Brian and Mia and Vin are good, but I feel like the best parts are actually just with Brian and Mia. Because, I don't know, I feel like their relationship had a lot of loose ends, and Not to mention the fact that I don't remember there ever being a part that Brian actually mentioned that he was on the run for several years and was a street racer and had all these experiences, not in the FBI. So I feel like they just assumed that he was an FBI agent for this whole time that he's been gone. And I was just like, so they probably think he's been like undercover and all that for this whole time and not even cared that they even existed. But that kind of makes it better, a better movie in my opinion, just for that fact, because he doesn't ever tell them that either. He doesn't tell them that he was out street racing and he was doing what they did for a long time. And I don't know, I just like that he's just like, please forgive me the whole time. Like he's trying to become their friend again and trying to help them, and he wants to be in the family. And that really hit home with me, because I really love Brian's character. Like that, I love that character in this whole series. But it's probably sadly like a 6 for me. Like not to say it's a bad movie, but just compared to the first like 2 and 3 and 1 obviously, but it'll probably be a 6 for me, just because of so many things that are wrong with it at the same time, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. That's where I sit with it.
All right. Well said. To kind of go along with what you were saying about Brian, like Brian's character is, he wants to do the right thing. Like he knows what the right thing is. And there are times where, you know, it's alluded to multiple times, like he knows that there's something off. Like he repeatedly tries to get Dom off the hook, you know. He wants to do the right thing. He wants to recompense, you know, with those people. And he does miss the lifestyle. That's who he is on the inside. And there's a line that Mia said. She's like, do you ever think that maybe you're the bad guy pretending to be the good guy? And I think that kind of speaks to a lot of social aspects, even whenever it comes down to, like, you know, the police and things like that, and just corruption within the government. You know, like people play both sides all the time, and no matter what, everyone thinks that they're doing the right thing. So ultimately it has to come down to, what do you think the right thing is? Like, what do you think the right thing to do is? Like, you have to do that thing. And I think that's a pretty strong theme throughout the entire, you know, series. And the way I sit with it is, Brian's the best part of this movie. For me, Brian, over as an overall thing, every time he's on screen, I'm like, okay, this is great. Like this feels right. Dom doesn't always hit for me, honestly. The chemistry between, you know, Dom, Jordana, Mia, and Brian, that's all fine. That's all good. There's some cringy parts, obviously. I do think that there is some redeemable qualities in it. And the fact that I would watch this movie again, I'm going to score a little bit higher than you guys, because even though it's not something I'm going to like pick first, I do think it's better than just fine. I'd say it's a little above average, like just as an overall, because the production value, I mean, there is a lot of things there that, you know, there wasn't anything except for the, besides the tunnels and the barreling truck, there wasn't a ton of effects, and there was a lot of practical effects used, like a lot of practical stunts used that I like. So I'm going to give it a 7. I'm going to say it's, you know, just around average. Like it's average. It's good. It's fine. So Caleb 6.5, Mikey 6, I'm giving it a 7, which at this point is the lowest rated Fast and Furious score that we've given so far, because I think I gave Too Fast, Too Furious a 7.5. So, you know, that goes to show. And I do really feel like this movie is in the same tier as Too Fast, Too Furious, for sure. Like, and I do think it's right under it as far as just, and I know Mikey's like, I hate this. I hate being on the show. I hate Gabe. He's a horrible host. No. He hates Too Fast, Too Furious. No,
I was trying to step back for a second and see, cause I could see that.
Yeah.
Being in the same boat, but I don't know. This one doesn't have the nostalgia for me.
I totally understand that. And there is a sense of nostalgia for me. Like, I can remember the first time I went to go see this movie. Like, we went to the drive-in. Mm-hmm. I went to the drive-in with my parents, and we had this Infiniti, and like we sat in the back of it, and I was like, oh my God, like this is a sequel to the original, which I had grown up with and loved, you know? So it was just, there is a sense of nostalgia still there for me, and I still like this movie, even though it's just a 7, whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm glad we watched it. I'm ready for Fast 5. I can't wait to get back to it. And the ending of this movie does kind of get me hype, like, let's freaking go. Like, okay, the team's back together. Brian, they're breaking Dom out of jail. What's going to happen? I can't wait to see what happens next. And I know that you guys can't wait to hear what we think about it next time on The Wannabe Critic. But until then, stay tuned, because we have obviously more episodes of this show coming out. We are launching a new podcast YouTube feed. If if you're watching this show right now, you can find us at youtube.com/thewannabecriticpodcast. We're going to be posting all of our podcasts there from now on. I figured there's no point in really sitting down to do a show if we're not going to do video. And even though there is some complications with Zoom every now and then, it just makes the most sense to put it up on as many platforms as possible that people are going to be viewing stuff. So anyways, if you made it this far into the episode, we really appreciate it. You can write in at geeklybiweekly1@gmail.com. You can find me on pretty much any social media platform at The Wannabe Critic. Guys, do you want to plug any of your stuff? Caleb, do you want people to be able to find you?
Sure. My biggest thing, I guess, would be, like, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at ChiefNNY18. So you can check me out there if you want to, where I tweet mostly about football things. So nothing to do with this, but yeah, go for it.
tweet. Mikey?
I don't have anything as of right now, but I'm working on setting up some accounts on different things to kind of let people get a hold of me if they want to. They probably won't, but there's an option.
There you go.
But probably the next episode I'll throw out some stuff.
Okay, awesome. Well, as always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate all the support that you give us. And, you know, write in. Let us know what you think of the show. We'd appreciate it. And as always, thank you for preparing yourselves for a plethora of hot takes and potentially unpopular opinions. I'm Gabriel Fast. I'll always be the one to be critic. Say goodbye, you guys.
Goodbye.
Adios.